And
hello, Jen. This is...
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Today is Saturday, May 13th, 2023. Welcome to our Contract Trust Conference Call. We are not accountants, tax professionals, lawyers, or currency dealers. We're not engaged in rendering legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice. Should you require those services, you should retain competent advice from a professional in that field. Thanks for joining us today. We are Indicator Information Institute. My name is Carol Worlius, and my business partner, Jim Knox, and I have these calls every second and fourth Saturday of the month. These calls are recorded and available on our website, IndicatorInformation.com, Indicator-Calls.com, and IIICalls.com. As we get closer and closer, and how often do we hear that? As we get closer and closer to our expected windfall event, we thought this would be a good time to review our common law trust and why we think it is the best vehicle for you to protect your assets. We are happy to answer your trust questions, and obviously that's why we're here. Many of you asked about the actual exchange and what to expect, and that is not our area of expertise. And we've been asked not to speculate about procedures, so please don't ask. As always, your trust questions are welcome. Just star 6 to raise your hand. We feel the contract trust we offer provides more protection, anonymity, and flexibility than anything currently being sold to currency holders. The benefits are many. They are common law and thus constitutionally protected. Our trusts were written by an attorney and withstood the scrutiny of the IRS and the U.S. Supreme Court. There's no need to register it anywhere, so it assures your anonymity and privacy. You get to be your own trustee, which means you are the final authority. You can appoint your spouse as co-trustee. You can make provisions for your children. It is irrevocable, so your assets are totally protected, and it does not die when you do. Now, most of you are aware that we suggest utilizing more than one trust. The first or mother load trust initially owns all the assets and will be the one that exchanges the currency in ZIM, and it is totally private. So I'm going to talk a little bit about these different types of trusts. The mother load trust should be considered level one of your trust organization. The original account where you exchange your currency will be deposited. The mother load trust should be the most secure and private account that you set up. We may have to have different accounts for the different currencies. However, all those accounts will be under the mother load trust. From what we have heard, your exchange will put all your assets into the new quantum financial system, QFS, thus keeping your money safe. So never purchase anything from this account directly. We have been led to believe we will receive a new debit card primarily to facilitate moving money from one account to the other and not for purchases. Most large depositors, which I'm assuming everybody on this call will be assigned a private banker, a wealth manager, or you may choose to use a trust management company to help you with those transfers. Remember, your mother-in-law trust should be kept extremely private as only its trustees, you, the signers of the account, the bank itself, and your private banker should have knowledge of this level of your business dealings. At the time of your exchange, request from your banker clean, clear, and non-criminal certificates certifying that all deposited funds are clear and in good standing. You will need them when transferring money to different accounts in different institutions. Secondary trusts include management trust, real estate trust, vehicle and vessel trust, maintenance trust, charitable trust, annuity trust, etc. If you have a need for a trust, believe me, we have a trust for you. So funding new secondary trusts. You know, many of you have set up additional trusts for family, real estate projects, etc. Many of you will do the same post-RV. The big question is, how do you fund these additional trusts? There are two different scenarios here with two different strategies. For those who wait until post-RV to create these trusts, it's a relatively simple process. When your mother load trust was created, you exchange your assets, the currency, into the trust for $21 and 100 trust certificate units. That was it. Easy, breezy, no tax consequence. It works the same way for funding additional secondary trust. You, as a trustee of the mother load trust, exchange certain real business and or personal property assets such as dollars into the secondary trust. Again, most cases it will be dollars. The mother load exchanges an unspecified amount listed on Schedule A as $100 and other cash deposits or consideration. The mother load trust receives the 100 trust certificate units. The secondary trust is now funded. This is not a loan, but an exchange. The mother load trust, you, become the trustee of the secondary trust. Funding existing secondary trusts that have already been established is not difficult. This requires a little bit of paperwork. The trusts themselves are all contracts in trust format. After today, our website will have contract templates and instructions for your use. The management trust is one we really like to talk about because it's so powerful. It is a separate trust with a different name and its own EIN. It should be considered level 2 of your trust organization. This is the level of your trust organization that will be dealing with the public. You are the trustees of this trust. This trust will have bank cards and checks attached to its account. It will be funded by your mother load trust. It will function as your purchasing or lending arm. It will contract with other secondary trusts and act as intermediary between them and the mother load trust. Place adequate funds in this account to easily cover your prospective purchases and to cover several outgoing expenses for easier manageability. From time to time, the management trust may need additional funding from the mother load trust. Again, that can be done by contract. You should request from your banker a clean, clear, non-criminal certificate certifying that all deposit funds are clear and in good standing. Request 10 to 20 copies to hand out as proof that the funds are free and clear when purchasing large ticket items. You should also request proof of funds for any prospective large purchases. I'm having a hard time this morning, guys. Excuse me. View your management trust as the entity that can provide money to purchase large ticket items like vehicles, land, and homes on behalf of the Mother Road Trust. It will manage other trusts, such as real estate trusts, vehicle vessel trusts, maintenance trusts, charitable trusts, annuity trusts, etc. And it is going to be your direct go-between between, say, the real estate trust and the mother load trust. The real estate trust is managed by the management account, management trust. It does not require an EIN or bank account for residential property. However, if it is income property, you will need an EIN and bank account. The real estate trust owns the land and buildings, any buildings on it. Structures similar to the mother road trust and management trust, the real estate trust holds legal title to the real estate. The trustee has full power and complete control over its management. When purchasing property, it is highly recommended to purchase it in the name of the real estate trust, so your personal name never becomes public record associated with that property, keeping personal exposure to minimum. You may want to consider appointing an officer with a different surname than yours to sign all documents related to that property. We have several clients who have done that. They have named a good friend, even their successor trustee, as a president or secretary of the trust to sign those documents. Therefore, you're still signing on behalf of the trust, but your name isn't out there. Vehicle and vessel trusts own the vehicle or vessel you attach to it, and it is funded by the mother load trust and managed by the management trust, again, all by contract. And lastly, you are going to have a personal account. And this is not a trust account, but funded by your mother load and or management trust, typically by paying the trustees yourselves a moderate salary, which is, at this point in time, taxable to you as income. We suggest that you never have more than $50,000 in this account at any given time, just for your safety. It is set up to accommodate all your personal expenses like groceries, clothing, personal spending, vacations, medical and dental expenses, personal health insurance, etc. You may have bank cards and checks that draw from this account, although you may want to consider loading money on a prepaid debit card so that if someone lifted your debit card number, they will not have access to your checking account, only to the amount you have loaded on the prepaid card. Don't forget that your goal is to keep things as insulated and isolated as possible. So if an accident happens with any of the real person or property and someone attempts to sue you, they can only see the owner of that real or personal property, which is that specific trust. So that was my part for Jim. What do you have on your mind today?
Well, I have a lot, but that was a phenomenal presentation. I have to say that that was one of the better ones.
Thank
Carol,
you.
You're a great writer. All right, so first thing, everybody, I want you to download this PDF. It'll be on later today. I've already changed the date. While Carol was talking, I changed the date of our next call. It'll be the 27th, so it's already on the website. We have 13 days, 23 hours, 49 minutes, and 16 seconds to the next one. So right after the call, it takes about an hour, and I will get the PDF up on the website on our call site, which we have now will be 163rd. So we'll have that on Indicator Calls or IIICalls.com, and also have the audio on there. That's the biggest thing I want to make sure you guys know. You need to get that down. This is one of the better ones, and it will give you a good idea what's going on. Now, I've got a lot of calls this week, and a lot of them were very, very good. Thank you very much, guys. I am heating up. We had a couple of potential prospects that called, and it was interesting to chat with them. They had some interesting questions, which I'm going to handle here later. But one of the things that occurred to me while I was talking to them, because they're working with attorneys, they got LLPs and all that other stuff. You know, Indicator, Jay and Carol Worlius created this phenomenal entity called Indicator Information Institute. That's the key word, institute. We don't have that on our URL because it's way too long. Well, we just say Indicator Information, but it's Indicator Information Institute. We're a kind of like a university online, and we strive to get this stuff. We have so much content. I'm going to have to get somebody to give me a hand. We're going to have to rearrange some stuff. It won't be a big deal, but we'll get it done. But here's the difference between us and most of the other companies out there. We charge approximately $2,000 a trust. If you go to an attorney, he's going to write a trust that he controls that puts you in all kinds of jeopardy, and he's going to charge you $20,000. And every time you want to change, he's going to charge you $500, $700, $1,000. We don't do that. When you buy a trust, we'll help you. We'll be there all the time, to a degree. But you have to start self-educated. You know, a lot of people don't know what their rights are. But I will say this. All the rights that you have, that you think you have, you better be able to stand up for them. Because if you don't, you don't have them. We have the right to contract. Now, I want to ask Carol here to explain something in a minute, but I want to lead up to that. The Constitution guarantees us the right to contract. What is this trust? It's a contract. Who did you call? Us. Did we create a contract with you? Yes. Yes, we did. That's within our legal rights. We can contract. There was an attorney that reviewed our trust and says, well, this isn't valid. They can't write a contract. Only attorneys can write a contract. Well, that's BS, folks. That guy is just trying to protect his income. That is not correct. We have attorneys that buy our trust for their personal use, but they still sell the statutory. They ain't dumb. They know where they're getting their money, right? But we have attorneys that are clients. I won't say who they are, obviously, but we have some. Before my business partner, John Newell, passed away, few years ago, he worked with some attorneys. He was a phenomenal computer guru, and he worked for a lot of attorney firms. And one of the head honchos there has got a huge firm, like five offices here in the Northwest. Was his personal friend, and he used to come over all the time, and we'd get together, and we'd go out and have, you know, a toddy or dinner. And they knew me real well because I was his business partner, and they knew what we did. And there was never an argument. There was never an argument. And the guy's first name was Jay, coincidentally. And he used to give me a bad time about this. Man, he says, you ought to got your law license. He said, well, if I did, then I couldn't do what I'm doing right now because I'd be bound to a foreign entity that will block what I really think I should be doing, which is true. So I just want to bring that up, that this is the best thing out there. If you go statutory, you're going to be paying a lot of money, a lot. Now, the other part of this, the last part is all attorneys, I believe we have heard that all attorneys will be retrained or banished from law practice when we go to through the Sara Jasara. What are we going to come back as? What is the new government going to be built on? The Constitution. What was the Constitution built on? Common law. See, we're already there. Yes, Indicator Information Institute is already there. And we're practicing. We're doing this. We're getting the information out. So, I don't think we'll see the, and this is going to hurt a lot of people's feelings, but I'm sorry. I don't think we're going to see our RV until after Trump comes back, and I think that won't be that far out. And the reason I say that is, would you really want to have your money in the existing financial system right now? I don't think so. Now, when Let's Go Biden is finally out of office, or Let's Go Brandon is finally out of office, which I think is soon because look what they're doing. They're coming out with all kinds of information about his issues he's done in the past. Now, Carol and I both read and enjoy reading Operation Disclosure Official, OperationDisclosureOfficial.com. There's a lot of good information there. Yeah, some of it's not accurate, some of it's not correct, but they do change it when they find out that there's been an error. One thing Judy does, she says, I did the research and that was wrong and I'm sorry I did it, but here's the new stuff. You ought to go to there. We go there every day, except for Sunday. She doesn't operate on Sunday. And get some information. And she's very much in the same frame of mind that I am, that this won't happen. But, of course, Bruce, the big call, and a few other guys, they're saying this weekend. I don't know the exact number, but I think it's 798. I've been in this since I bought my first currency. That's 798 weeks. And in every week, somebody says it's going to be this weekend. 798 times they've been wrong. So just have to figure out what you need to do about standing strong until then. And I want to throw a little thing out to the Brunson brothers. I bought their full system, the educational system that they have there about what's going on. It's phenomenal. It cost me $150, well worth the money. I do believe the Supreme Court now is going to hear the Brunson case. So I want to just get that in before we go any further. And some of it was a little off from our normal thing, but I think it's important to discuss that. Carol, what are we going to do next?
Well, we're going to open it up to Q&A, first of all. Okay, there we go. And Jim alluded to something about he was going to say something and I would say something afterwards. Well, I believe he was talking about, the attorney, somebody saying this is not a valid contract, not a valid trust. My reply to the person that told me this was, I recently testified in federal court about trust. I had an old client that was misusing them. No, there's no question about it. The guy was guilty. He was totally misusing the trust. When I was being interrogated, introduced myself, what do I do, et cetera, I prepare trust. Well, are you an attorney? Well, no, I'm not an attorney. Well, then how come you're doing this? This is a common law trust. And anybody, as common law, anyone can do it. I just know how. So, folks, I'm in a room full of attorneys. There had to be 12 attorneys there and a judge. And nobody questioned what I said. Nobody said that you can't do that. No one said that I was... But nobody said I was wrong. So once again, we were validated. Many of you know that the trust on which we base our trust went up against all the way to the Supreme Court in the 80s. And this trust was vindicated. In fact, that the original people that were sued by the IRS won against the IRS. And it stood up to the Supreme Court as a valid legal entity. So that's my little pat on the back, for lack of a better word. And we do have a caller. So let's see what she has on her mind. Okay. Good morning, Al. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Good to hear you guys. My question is just very simple. The PDF that Jim mentioned, where are we going to get it from? Is it on the website?
Yeah, it will be on the go to the Indicator Calls website. Every call, the last 100-some-odd calls that we've done, we have a PDF. Everything that Carol reads is in the PDF. Okay, and it's attached. You see it right below. You'll have the recording, and you can leave, and it just says PDF. And let me pull that up real quick. Well, I can't do where I'm at because I'm in the middle of my other website. But anyway, it's there, and just download it. And then the PDF doesn't have anything we're talking about right now. You have to go listen to the call to hear this kind of stuff. But the PDF is everything that she reads. And so is that okay? You know where that's at?
Yeah. Yes, of course. Okay. I thought it was a different PDF than that.
No, that's it.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
Thank you,
Terry. So, until somebody else raises their hand, a couple things I would like to bring up. I'm finding that a lot of you are not keeping up with your minutes. And, you know, I have to admit I don't necessarily jump on mine December 30th either, but I do get them done. Right now, all these trusts are sort of in the back of our minds because we don't have any action yet, so to speak, and we have an RB, I have a trust. But you should write a minute at the end of the year saying that the trust did not transact any business the previous year. And we do have some sample minutes on the website for that. So I had this conversation with a client the other day, and he said, well, oh, it's not a big deal. I'll just continue to do that. I said, well, it will be a big deal once we RV and you have money and you start buying things and you start doing projects, et cetera, those things you're going to want to write down. And that, as Jim and I have told you many times, the reason for keeping minutes is to let your successors know what's going on, know what you did and why you did it. So if you decide that you're going to create a project or you are going to help fund the MedMed clinics or you're going to help fund help feed the homeless or whatever, write it down in a minute. It only takes a few minutes. As Jim says, you can write it down on a piece of paper. Just make sure you date it and sign it. But you want to leave a record for your successors so they know what you did. And we do have a couple of other calls here, so let's see what we got going on.
Me add to that. All right, I'm on a website now, and in the menu it says, for me, I have a wide screen. I don't know where it's going to be on your screen. But it just says minutes up in the menu up there. And if you go there, it tells you a little bit about how to do it. And then there is this how to format and make a minute template for your trust. Start here. We have in here, in more places than this, we have it also in the tools section, all of the fonts that we use. And you can download the fonts. And there's videos that teach you how to download the fonts. And you get the fonts for free. And you can build this minute template perfectly. Now, when we send you the trust, you have a spare minute already there. All you just photocopy that 100 times, and you've got a whole bunch of them in there. All you have to do is put the number in there. But if you want to build your own, I have everything there to teach you how to do this. Now, in the very first minute, it says annual meeting. Well, if you don't have an annual meeting, then you must have an end-of-the-year minute. So they're all here. Annual meeting is the very first one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The sixth one down is end of the year minute. In other words, if you didn't do anything, use the end of the year minute. So they're all here. Please use them. And then we have special meetings, and we have trustee benefits. We have releases. We have sales and non-disclosure agreements are there. We have a joint venture agreement because you may want to do that between your trust or some other people with trust. We have leases. We have bank and brokers, you know, how you want to deal with those, minutes for them. It's all here. We're adding to it all the time. I really am. But there's so much here, you just don't notice how much I'm adding. So with that said, Carol, let's see what the next person's got to say.
All right. Click the button. Okay. Gary. Oh, no, not Gary. Sorry. Barbara.
Yes.
Hi, Barbara.
How you doing, Carol? How you doing?
Good.
Yes.
What's on your mind?
Yes. I was calling. I had emailed you a while ago. I'm having problems with getting on the website. And even though I tried to change my password, I'm still having problems with it. It just won't let me get onto the website.
So all right, let me jump in there. All right, hold on, Mark. You can't change your unfortunately, the program that we have says you can change your password. I guarantee mm-hmm. you can't get a strong enough password to work. Now, and we can fix that. It's not a big deal. But we keep telling people about, in our tools tab, in our website, we talk about this program called RoboForm. I use it. Carol uses it. Just about everybody that's big in computers uses it. Keeps all your passwords for you. And it's got an automatic backup system, the whole nine yards. And you can get the free version. I think it gives you 10 passcodes or whatever that is. But for $30 a year, it's a good, good deal. Now, on our other website, and I'm going to pull that up right now. Just give me a second here. 3iTrust app. If you have an issue, go to 3iTrustApp.com, and it has at the very bottom, the last one on the menu, says login issues. Fill it out. When you click on it, it says submit, and you click on it, both Carol and I see it within a minute or two. Now, we may not get to it right away, and if it doesn't pop up, when I check my email, it'll always pop up then. So there's been a few people here, well, I emailed you about that. Well, I get over 200 emails a day. Sometimes I miss those because they may come in as a spam. So, but the login issues is recorded. It's in the website. It's there forever. I can go in there and see when you sent it and what you said. So with the login issues, all you have to do is answer a few little questions and then push the submit button. I have to have some information of where I'm going. Okay, what was your original username? What is the email address you used? Now, once I do that, I can find you and then I can fix it. What I'll have to do is create a new password. And it's going to be very long, very convoluted. We've been hacked 3 times, which means I've had to rebuild this website from the ground 3 times the last 13 years, 14 years, something like that. I don't want to do it anymore. That's a lot of work. This is 2.4 terabytes, or gigabytes, excuse me, gigabytes in size. It's huge. So we have to protect it. So, Barbara, if you go there and do that, I will immediately today, I will get it done, and I'll send you your new password. And I'll send make sure you hold all your credentials so you can match them, okay? This is the email address you use, this is the username you use, and this is the new password that you're going to use. And I'll also send you a link to RoboForm so you can see how to go about getting that. There's a free version. It's the most phenomenal product on the Internet. I mean, I have close to 500 passwords I've got to remember. There's no way I can do that. I remember when Carol first started using this years and years ago, she had everything set up on a spreadsheet that was driving her crazy. Then she just transferred everything over to RoboForm and it worked perfectly. So we want to help you. So just fill in the login issue so we have a record of it, and then we'll get it done.
And, Jim, what was that website again that you mentioned for me to go on to send you that information? You said 3-1?
No, it's 3-I.
Okay.
Okay. Trust app. 3iTrustApp.com.
App. Okay. All right.
Now,
that's where
I need. Barbara, if you get lost, if you go to our main website, let me pull it up real quick, on Indicator. I'm sure you've been there because you've tried to log in. At the top of it, there's two blocks. One says we have our own conference call webpage now, and the other one's complete your application, 3iTrust app. And there's hyperlinks right there. Just go to that main website, click on the blue hyperlink, or click on the yellow button before. It'll take you right to 3iTrust app.
Okay. And it's the indicator information.com. Is that the one?
Yep. That's the one. The main site. Just go there, and there's two blocks in the white, not at the very top, but in the white. And you'll see a left block and a right block. Left is about the conference call. Right block is about the applications. Just click on it. It'll take you
One last question concerning the code. Now, once you send me that new code, are you saying that I cannot reset that password to something easier is because you've been hacked several times and this is why we have to use the code that you sent us, the password?
Yes. That's exactly right. I know it's hard, it's a loan, it's got a lot of stuff, but I just upgraded. It cost us about $400 a year for the basic program that protects this this website. And then what they send me notices, then I got to go in and fix things constantly. You know, the program tells us, okay, you had this attempt here and you had this attempt there, and it just gets really crazy. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to go look and see where we're at today. Dashboard. Defense. And here's why we have to do this. Today, just today, we've had a total of 213 malicious attempts to get in our website. 27 were blocked, and 186 were what they call a complex attack.
Wow.
We've had this month alone, so far this month, 2,608 attempts to break into our website.
My goodness.
That's people don't want us doing what we're doing. That's the bottom line. They don't want us doing what we're doing. We're good at what we do. And thank goodness I have a little bit of education in this stuff because I do this myself. Not only do I do the trust with Carol, I built all these websites. I didn't hire it done. I built them.
Oh, my.
So that's why I'm so adamant about this. I want to build them again. So the Czech Republic hit us 32 times, Turkey 31 times, Indonesia 5 times, Singapore 4 times. It goes on and on and on and on all the way down.
Wow.
So
You
know, any website that's this big, this complex, it's kind of like it's a competition with all the weird geeks out there. They want to see if they can break into it, destroy it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
people
don't
have anything better to do, huh? Well, you know what they say with the idle mind is.
Yeah. They don't. They have nothing better to do than mess with people's lives.
Yeah. You know what an idle mind is. But anyway, thank you so much for answering my questions. I appreciate it. And I look forward to sending that information to you so I can get in that website and see what I need to learn. I know there's a lot in there. Thank you so much for all your hard work. I appreciate you. You and Carol. Carol,
you have a question?
Thanks, Barbara.
Wait a minute now. If you have changes in the website, everybody, if you have changes done in the website, there's a change order app there also, right next to the login issues. So login issues and change orders are on 3iTrust app. So if you have any issues, we'll handle them.
Okay. Well, I certainly will be getting a call into you or Carol. I have a daughter who has her own business, and she's trying to see how she can put it in a trust. And so I don't want to take up too much more time in the call in case somebody else has questions. So look forward to me, you know, calling you all concerning that. She has her own construction business, and she wants to see how she can transfer it into a trust. So, okay, great. Thank you. Well, have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara, and you too. I'd like to add one point about RoboForm. A lot of, I don't know about you guys, but I'm
sorry,
searching that on my, there we go. All right, sorry. So a lot of you surf the internet on your PCs or on your iPads or tablets or telephones. RoboForm has applications for all those. I mean, I go back and forth between my PC and my telephone depending on where I am. Like Jim, I've got hundreds of passwords. If I go to a site that requires a password, I just click on RoboForm, pull it up, and it's right there. It fills it in and opens it up for me. So not only is it a great thing to have for your computer, it's a great thing to have for your other devices as well. So, all right. Our next caller is Gary. So, Gary, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, Jim, I'm confused about the PDF that you said to download. What are we looking for? And what is the download that we're supposed to do?
All right, let me go there. It's
it's today's call, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to the website. When you get to the indicator hyphen calls or III calls.com, there is a bar that shows that there's an audio. Well, right below that it says number 162 call script PDF. That's what Carol reads. She reads our call script. So you can click on that PDF, and you can download every one, well, over 100 of them, every call that we've ever had that we've talked about, that Carol's narrated the front of it. It's all there. Everything is there. So that's just, if you was to take and download all of those and read them, you'd know everything there is to know about a trust, I think. So there's a lot of information there. You know where that's at, Gary?
I think I do. I'm on a smartphone right now, and I can't get to it at the moment.
Okay. Well, if you have an issue, you got my number. Just give me a call. But it's just on our indicator calls, the one that's got 100, and today will be our 163rd call. It'll be on that one.
You know, is there something on there that isn't being discussed on the call?
I'm sorry?
No.
What was that?
Is there something that's in that PDF that's not being discussed on the call?
Well, yeah. The
no.
PDF is what she read. But if you want to hear the rest of it, then you have to listen to the audio. Because we don't transcript, make a transcript of our call. We just, whatever Carol read at the beginning of the call is what's in the PDF. And there's usually some other stuff, too. Sometimes we don't get to everything we want to talk about, but it's still there. There's a lot of good information.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right.
All right, thanks, Gary. Anything else, Gary?
No, that's it for right now.
All right,
thank
you. Bye-bye. Okay. Aline, you're up next.
Hi, this is Allie. Yeah, I just want to mention anyone that would like to join our little group that's growing a little bit, where we can help each other out in the future when this gets going, to email me at alpo4948@gmail.com. And also, I was wondering, when taking minutes, isn't it just kind of like the same thing as journaling in a way?
Yeah.
Kind of just similar to journaling, right?
Well, what I do is I always have a tablet near me, no matter where I go. And if I think of something I should have written down, I just write it down, date it, sign it, and I rip it out of the spiral here, and it's got three little punches. And when I get back to the house, I just throw it in the binder with as a minute. That's all I have to do. Most of my minutes are handwritten. I don't do the wild and crazy formal stuff very often, unless it's something very complex that I know I'm going to have to share with people. But I'm only keeping the minutes for my successor trustee, which I have two. I have one of my closest friends has agreed now to become my successor trustee, and also my younger brother. And so between the two of them, they'll be able to manage my estate upon my demise.
Yeah,
or
okay.
So, yeah, that's all we do. Just handwrite it. Make sure you sign it, date it. And the unique thing is, if it's handwritten and signed, if you ever get drug into court, they'll be able to verify your handwriting, verify that, yeah, that's your signature. So there's never a question. In fact, it's probably better to handwrite some of them and then to do it, because all they can now is have to verify your signature. Well, you know, if you had a bad writing day, so it may not be too, they may not decide in your favor. But, yeah, just get your minutes done. Regardless, just get them done.
Okay. All right. Thanks again.
All right. You bet.
Thank
oh, and thanks
you.
For the little gift. I appreciate that, Allie.
Okay. My pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there's nobody else waiting at the moment, Jim. What would you like to add?
Well, I have a whole bunch of notes that I wrote down earlier today that I want to talk about, but I don't know if I want to talk about too many of them right now. Let me pull my page over here. The noise you hear in the background, folks, me switching the page over one-handed. You know, we talk about rights in America a lot, and more of them are being ignored. Well, you have no rights unless you know those rights. Because they'll run right over the top of you. We've seen it time and time and time again. And we're at a point now in our history, in our time, that we have to start really standing up. You know, the interesting thing about there's two groups of people out there. There's, you know, the right and the left. Well, the right just wants to be left alone and just want to go about our lives and build, you know, raise our families and be around our friends and do what's right and yada, yada, yada. Well, the other side's doing a little bit weird stuff. And that's okay. I don't mind that. They think they have the ability or the right to do that. They do. They really do. It's called free speech. But if you don't know your rights and the other group starts coming after you, you're going to have a tough time defending yourself. So start spending some time learning your rights. The first right you have is the right to contract. That's the most important one as far as we're concerned on this call, because we do have these trusts. So just learn how what your rights are and be able to defend yourself. And I see that happening here in Oregon so many times when people get in arguments. I've seen a grocery store, two people standing up. I thought they were going to have a fist fight. And it was two women, actually. They had doubled their fists, and they were arguing. One was on the right, one on the left. And virtually, neither one of them was right. They were both wrong, as far as I could tell. But they were ready to go to fists. It was amazing what's going on. There's such I don't know what the right word would be, but we've now have a split country. And that's a shame. We should be united. We should be united against a common enemy, not each other. But it's gotten pretty bad here. With that said, learn your rights. If you don't know your rights, you cannot defend yourself. All right. Oh, the Brunson case. I did want to talk a little bit about that. When I bought that thing, they sent me so much material. It was unbelievable. I have in front of me right now the Supreme Court of the United States. I have a full presentation of the Supreme Court. They sent me that. They sent me 5,000-year leave, miracles, the Oregon Independent State jurisdiction, and they sent me the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence books. They sent me a nice little booklet on the Constitution for federal, state, and local officials. This book tells the officials what they can and cannot do. I've enjoyed reading that lately. That's what brought this whole subject up. I was looking at it last night. It tells them you don't have those rights. The citizens have the rights. You have no rights. As an employee of the government, they have no rights. Only we have rights. They have laws they have to live within, but they don't. So those are things that you need to start paying attention to. And I'll get off that now. Anybody else who wants to ask questions, Carol?
Let's take a look. I believe so. Okay. Yes. Jim, you are next.
Hi, Carol. Hi, Jim. How are you guys doing?
Hi. Good, thank you.
That's good. It's been a while since I've been on one of your calls. I had a couple of questions about what you guys have talked about. Somewhere in all of my learning, I guess I missed, you're talking about the date that your minute needs to be. Is it supposed to be the end of the year?
Well, there
I've
is.
Done
well,
it
hold
at
on
the
second.
End when I okay, signed the trust, June.
Hold on. No, it's the end of the fiscal year, whatever you could decide. End of the year could be December 31st. That's usually what it is in a contract trust. It doesn't matter as long as you had something that says, okay, so you got your trust in November. Well, December 31st comes down. You didn't do anything yet, so write a minute. So then the next year goes around. You didn't do anything. Write a minute. And just use the end of the year minute template that we've got. That's all you got to do.
So what I've been doing when I do it the 1st of June, because my thing was my trust was started in mid-June, is okay then?
Sure.
Okay.
Because, you know, you can just say that I went by the anniversary of the creation of the trust. That's your year. Nobody's going to say it lasts January 1st, December 31st.
Okay.
No,
well,
that's a statutory issue. We're on
December,
common law.
Yes.
We do it our way.
That's wrong.
Go ahead.
Okay. And then the other question that I had is, it is my plan when the RV happens to I'm going to start several businesses, more than likely, and I want them all in different trusts.
Yes.
So I'm going to start with a management trust. After I've gotten to the point where let's say I've got 20, 25, 30 trusts that have different things in them, my goal was, I've been thinking, to where someone else is watching that. Is that a good idea? And should I hire someone that is not of the bar exam but has legal knowledge? In other words, go to the law school closest to me and say, hey, I need your best student. and tell him, don't take the bar. This is what I'm going to pay you every year, but I want you to watch over my systems and my trusts. Would that be a good idea, or would I be better off with someone that just has a little bit of legal knowledge and more knowledge toward common law?
Well, Jim, I appreciate you just allowing me to segue into what I want to talk about next. You must have read my mind. So, yes, here's what I would say is when we go back to the New Republic. I don't know why, but they do, but it's basically the same thing, the Republic. If you go back to the organic 13th Amendment, it said no person of title and nobility shall ever hold a public office. Well, a title and nobility, every attorney signs their name, and they put Esquire behind it. Well, that's, mm-hmm. Like a little prince. So they're actually, their oath is not the United States. It's to London, England.
Right.
Because it's a BAR, I believe stands for Barristers Accredited Register. And so all of those people that are an attorney, when we go into common law, cannot practice until they're retrained. Actually, I'd like to have them give give them a mental enema to get rid of all that crap that they learned and start fresh.
Yeah.
because I would highly recommend, I think that we will not see this RV until that has happened, where we're under the right law. And that's just my personal opinion, folks. Just my personal opinion. Don't shoot me. And
Jassara needs to be enacted.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that takes us right back into common law. So there'll be no attorneys. So they will have to be retrained. I think you have a brilliant idea, and we have two law schools right here in Salem, and they had a third one, but it closed down. Surprise, surprise. And they converted over to a Christian college. I thought was really interesting. But we have two law schools here. I've been down there a few times over the years, back when I was a little more arrogant with these guys. I'm too old to be arrogant now. And I used to go down and query them and go into the law library. That's back before we had all this stuff back in the 90s. Or, you take this book and they got this special copy. They'll use the book down at an angle and you can copy both pages and yada, yada, yada. I used to do that all the time going in and I was searching cases a lot. And I talked to quite a few students. And actually, some of the people working in the law library were students. And I asked them, if there was another way for you to do what you want to do, would you be interested in something that's simpler? Of course. So I says, why don't you look up common law? And a couple of them did come back to me and say, well, we looked it up, but our professor says it's not current. yeah, it is. As long as that constitution is still in, it's current.
Yeah.
So I would say that's a good idea. You may find yourself somebody because they're not going to be able to be a lawyer anymore. That's going away. I don't know what they're going to call themselves as a common law. I don't think it'll be called attorney. I don't think they would call something else. I have my special word for it, but we won't repeat that today.
It's the family show, Jim.
I know. That's why I said that.
Yeah. I
think that's an excellent idea, Jim. Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a lot of interesting arguments. My father was a judge and a lawyer for over 50 years. He was a judge for 36 of them. And I've had some interesting conversations about, man, I'm your son. How could you look at me and lie to me like that? Because I know better,
Yeah.
And he would just act like he didn't know what I was talking about.
They're good at that, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Doesn't matter if they're related to you or not.
Yeah, I have a couple of attorneys in my family that I don't talk to. Actually, I have one attorney in my family. He's a distant cousin that's been disbarred, and I heard rumor that he actually got put in jail. I don't know that to be true yet, and I don't really care. But,
Thought you were going to tell me he came over to the right side.
Pardon me?
Thought you were going to tell me he came over to the right side.
Oh, no. They're brainwashed. actually, I shouldn't say that. They just know where their money comes from.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else, Jim?
You know, at this moment, not that I can think of.
All right. Well, let us know if you need any help. You know how to get a hold of us.
Yep, I do.
All right. Thanks, Jim. That's a great question.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, Al, you have another question?
Yes, another one came up. And this, I think I've talked about it before, but it's coming up again because a lot of folks are talking about Iraq redoing their currency. And I'm just wondering if that happens and there's no RV, they just do it because they need to make their currency usable internationally. Can I then, since I have already placed currencies, three or four different types, in my mother load, can I just go ahead and use that for processing the dinar, and then when the RV happens, again use it for the other currencies?
I don't have an answer for that question. I don't know what the ramifications will be. I would say that pre-reinstatement of our contract, constitutional document, I wouldn't do that. I'm looking at that, and I'm looking and I'm wondering, okay, why is all this information suddenly coming out that Iraq has done it, but I haven't seen anything. I have people that actually work in Iraq, and they said they don't see any of that stuff going on. So remember, we're reading this stuff out from the gurus. And like I said at the beginning of the call,
I've spoken to some Arab people who are living here but have family back there, and they've mentioned that it is happening to me when I've inquired about it, that it's going forward, that they're very, very close. Their budget is going to be dealt with in the next few days, like in the next 2 days. And then, not necessarily, they may start floating their currency from its current thing. It's increased a little bit, and they may float it. And that means that whenever it gets to the, it depends on how long they give people to actually trade their old stuff in. It might be 30 days or 60 days.
Mm-hmm. I've heard some of that too, Al. Hold on a second. I had to clear my throat. Okay, so what I'm hearing is when they do this, when they finally, I mean, the budget's not been passed in how many years? Like a decade and a half? So when they finally do that and they start allowing the currency to be reinstated, the real currency, it's going to have to float. It can't do anything but float. It has to float up. And so the mechanism is not there to just go in an RV because we're not there yet. The RV is not ready.
No. Mm-hmm.
So it has to float. Ready. So right now it's at, I think it's 1620. Or is it 13?
No, 13. Mm-hmm.
13, okay, I couldn't remember. It's about 1320. Well, you know, that's a little bit of an, but it's not near where we want it. That's just pennies. That's still pennies. And so if you exchange your currency for pennies and then it comes out later for dollars, that's not a good idea. You may want to do a little bit to get you out of trouble.
It's not. It's already at that. It's been like that for months now at the 13. But to go international and go on forks, it's got to be increased quite a bit.
I think they plan to let that.
They're already to go on forks.
Yeah, I think they're going to let it float because they can't make a declaration of, okay, this is now worth this. Well, what does the public say? Well, the public has the ultimate vote, and they vote with their dollars. So the currency will have to float up. And then when they finally decide to go ahead and do the RV, they don't want to have such a huge jump that their people get hurt financially because of this. The whole idea of the float, the fact that they banned U.S. dollars there 3 or 4 weeks ago, they made them come in and bring all the U.S. dollars in for the Iraqi notes. That's why they started the float, so to speak, from whatever it was, 1,800 down to 1,300 or whatever it is.
Right.
Their value of their dollars going up. So I just don't understand the full mechanism of how they're going to do it yet, but I've been watching it.
Well, if they the only question is if they do it, and then it'll be time to turn it in whether there's an RV or not, because they will limit the time you have to turn in your currency. Then can I just do it out of that motherlode trust and then use the motherlode trust again for the other currency that's in there? It seems like I should be able to.
I would say you should be able to, but I have no way of verifying that.
Yeah.
Common sense says you should be able to, but then again, what's common sense got to do with all these weird laws?
Well, if I use it and then I have some currency, actual cash there, then I'll be able to buy another trust, so I guess I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, you could
the other trust.
Yeah.
Yep, what?
I was going to say, I agree with you. You could just take and create another trust for the balance of the currencies.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
All right.
Good question.
Yeah, thanks, Karen. Very good question. Well, Jim, it's about 5 of the hour. What do you say? You want to just call it a day?
What was that?
Jim?
Yeah.
I just turned the Q&A off. Okay, so you want to call it a day? It's about 4 minutes of the hour.
Yeah, that's fine with me. Let me just sign off, and you can say what you need to say. I'm doing a bit better health-wise. I'm still not participating in a lot of the stuff. I'm working mostly on the websites. I do have a new phone. No voice messages, please. I'm getting too many calls, too many thank yous, and I understand that. Thank you very much for that. But 971-283-1453 is my textable phone number. It's also, you can call me on that too. And I guess I work 9 to 6 every day. I don't work weekends unless I have to, which I do this weekend because I got to get the website set up. And get a hold of me at security@indicatorinformation.com. Carol?
Okay. Thanks, Jim. And thank you all for participating with your questions. We do appreciate it, because just you may be the one that actually asks it, but other people may have the same things on their mind. But so it appears that once again, listening to everybody else, we are very close, so I urge you to be prepared. Typical turnaround time is less than a week, but I expect that to be considerably longer post-RV. Our contract trusts are well-priced at only $19.95 for new clients and $17.95 for additional trusts or family members. We also offer a 20% referral fee for any fully paid new trust. Now, the special, we are offering a $200 discount on management trusts from now until the end of the month or RV, whichever comes first. So, folks, please take advantage of that. Jim is going to change the prices on the website today. So thank you all for your time and attention. My name is Carol Worlius. My number is 877-333-5018 or 206-915-4236. I'm available between 10 and 6 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Like Jim, like most of you, really, I really don't care to work on a weekend. Best way to reach me is by email, info@indicatorinformation.com. So have a happy and safe weekend, everybody. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there tomorrow. And go RV. God bless America. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.